Good morning. Pleasure to be with you. In spite of the fact we drove through fog. Let's have a prayer, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word and consider this morning this very beautiful testimony we're going to read from the Bible, may it draw us closer to you. May we choose to follow you and to love you more. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, and may it impress upon our hearts today your love for us. Is our prayer this morning. Guide us by your Spirit through this sacred hour. It's our request in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to read a testimony from the Bible? And what makes this testimony so interesting is that it is not an Israelite. It's not a member of God's church or a member of God's nation. But rather, this person was an outsider. You belong to another place, another kingdom. And yes, he is very well known. And I guess as we consider this individual, we could also ask the question, why would God go to so much trouble? And yet, as we go through this service this morning, I would hope, among other things, it would give to us an appreciation of the value of a soul in God's eyes. A famous king. This is his testimony. If you have your Bibles, come with me to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. This chapter is written by Nebuchadnezzar, or Daniel wrote it, but Nebuchadnezzar is speaking to you and to me. Daniel chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, we read this. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God has wrought toward me. How great are his signs! How mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, his dominion from generation to generation. Here is the introduction of this king, Nebuchadnezzar, addressing all people. He wants your attention, he wants my attention. For this is his story. This is his story of how it told through his eyes how he would be changed by God and to take stock of his life. Do you ever listen when God speaks to you? Are you ever resistant? Nebuchadnezzar was. In verse 3, he reminds us of how great God is, how strong he is, how mighty. There is none like God. Do you appreciate that? That there is none equal with God. There is no one like the one who we worship. He is without equal. And that so we should praise him. We should give him glory when it is due. Consider the following. Psalms 99. Come with me there. Just for a moment. Psalms 99. Psalms 99 verse 1 and 2. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Psalms 97, verse 9. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Revelation 4. Come with me there quickly. Revelation 4. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are created. Powerful picture of God. God is creator. He puts everything into place. And as we go through this testimony, we discover not only can God put all things into place, but hey, he can pull things apart too. Sometimes he does to get your attention. To get your attention. Daniel 4. Come with me there. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Let's go back and look at his testimony. 4 and 5. Here we have the setting. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Here we have the setting. That this man, Nebuchadnezzar, was in his house and all things were going well for him. He was resting. He was resting. We can have things going well for us, can we not? We are resting. And then there is a dream. There is a dream. Verse 6 and 7. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that I might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Here is the difference. This time he remembers the dream. He remembers the dream. And even though he calls in all the wise men to answer and to give him an idea what it was all about, none could satisfy. None could satisfy him. And Nebuchadnezzar knew in his heart of hearts that, hey, this dream is important. This dream is saying something. He had to know the answer. And he also knew that there was only one who really could give the answer. Daniel. Daniel. It's interesting how he called in everyone else first and Daniel last. But hey, how many of us are guilty of doing the same? I'm sure you all know the old saying, when everything else fails, read the instructions. We all do that, don't we? When everything else fails, read the instructions. When everything else failed, call Daniel. Daniel would give the answer. Verse 8 and 9. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told a dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret thing troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. You know, it's interesting when you read this conversation that is happening. Here is a king who had a good relationship with his subjects. He had a good relationship with Daniel. He and Daniel were friends. There was no harshness in his dealing with Daniel. And as a result, one could easily begin to imagine the reason for Daniel's reaction. But what was the dream? Verse 10. Thus were the visions of my head on my bed. I saw and beheld a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the ends of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, for the beasts of the field had shadow under it. And the fowls of the heavens dwelt in the bough thereof, and all flesh were fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and the Holy One came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from under his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field. Now let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's. Let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and set up over the beasts of the field. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in thee. What a dream. What a dream. You know, when you think of what this dream is depicting, it's understandable. It's a very beautiful picture. When you travel along the road and see a big, powerful gum tree, what does it say to you? There's strength. There's strength. Nature has a way of putting things that outside of nature can't be told. Through. And here in this dream is a beautiful picture being depicted of just what the Babylonian Empire had become. But it was still a puzzle. Puzzle. What did it mean? And in verse 19, we have these words. Now Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. And the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation trouble thereof trouble you. And Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Here we see a tender regard between two men. And you know, it is a lesson here how we can learn to have respect one for another. They were both different. Very different. Nebuchadnezzar was a heathen. Daniel was Jewish. And yet you can see that in this conversation that is happening, that one had respect for the other. We could learn a lot from that. That regardless of background, regardless of station in life, hey, we need to have respect. We can learn that. All too often we get caught up in our own self-importance. And how often that can bring us down. I remember an elderly gentleman who passed away a couple of years ago. And if you were to see this elderly gentleman, you would think, well, he's only ordinary. He's only ordinary. Only drove an ordinary car, a Falcon. Nothing special about him. But boy, he was wealthy. He had 1,200 acres of land in Gippsland. He would grow a crop of about 200 acres of potatoes every year. He was the best beef farmer you'd find anywhere. Big dairy herd. He had the lot. But to look at him, he's only ordinary. It's a dangerous thing to judge. And here we have between these two individuals, one a king who was a heathen, a Jewish prime minister, two opposite ends, but learning respect for each other. But what does it all mean? What was this dream all about? Daniel 4, 20, 21, verse 20. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, which height reached unto the heavens and the sight thereof to all the earth, the leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much. And it was meat for all under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitations. It is thou, O king, that art grown strong and become strong, for the greatness is grown and reached unto heaven in thy dominion to the end of the earth. You're this tree. The tree is you. You become strong. You become powerful. You have no equal. You are the head of gold. You are this tree. This powerful tree. But then in verse 23. And whereas the king saw a watch and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew this tree down and destroy it. Yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the poor, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let its portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. That they shall drive thee from men, that thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and thou shalt make thee to eat grass and oxen. Thou shalt be wet, and they will wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas thy commander to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. King Nebuchadnezzar, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to find out the hard way. that God is ruler. You're going to find out the hard way who is really Lord of all. You cannot do your own thing and get away with it. Then in verse 27, wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break up thy sins of righteousness and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it be a lengthening of your days, of thy tranquility. Here, Daniel is telling the king what he can do to avoid the mess. Give yourself to heaven. Let God rule your life. In the book Prophets and Kings, page 514, the point is made that the words that Daniel said to the king made an impression. And for about 12 months, he did consider giving himself to God. But you know, it's amazing how we all fall into the trap of thinking, well, she'll be right. She'll be right. You see, pride can so easily get in the way, can't it? She'll be right. I could do it my way. I'll be fine. And how many times do we see so many people who are in full control one day, and then in a moment the whole world is turned upside down with a stroke, heart attack, something else for which there is no cure? How quickly the whole scene can change. And I guess this thought was brought home to me last year. September 27, my eldest brother had a birthday. He turned 66. My other brother, my eldest brother, his name is Neil. My other brother, Wayne, and his wife, June, sent Neil a gift of a reasonable sum of money. And a couple of weeks later, about the 8th of the 10th, Wayne got a letter from Neil saying, thank you for the gift and I'll set it aside for when I have my 80th birthday. Sounds like a good idea. 48 hours after getting that letter, my brother Wayne got a knock on the door at 2 a.m. in the morning. It was the police. Can we come in, please? I thought, what on earth's gone wrong? And of course, he immediately thought of his daughter and son-in-law, and the police said, no, your eldest brother, Neil, had a heart attack, and he's dead. Life is short. You cannot guarantee the future. Don't fall into the trap of thinking, hey, it's fine. Things can so easily be turned around, so quickly changed. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. And then we come to this scene in verse 29. Daniel 4:29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of the might of my power, for the honour of my majesty? To appreciate this scene, there's a couple of things we need to remember. This city of Babylon is not Melbourne. It's not London. This is Babylon. Can you imagine a whole city that is overlaid in gold? That was Babylon. When the afternoon evening sun shone on this, when I checked this diggings in the history I can do on the internet, the whole walls, the whole city was overlaid in gold. It was a golden city. And visiting people who would come, visiting kings who would come to visit that city, they would arrive late afternoon. And for a reason. Because as the sun was setting, it would dazzle on that walls. How brilliant it would have looked. We today don't know what glory and brilliance is. We really don't. Some of these old cities must have looked special in their glory. As I've been said, that Nebuchadnezzar's palace was the most magnificent palace this world will ever see. Majesty, power, glory. Any wonder he would stand here and say, hey, look what I've achieved. Wow. But then we read this, verse 31. While the words were in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And thou shalt, they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Thou shalt make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou knowest the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. While the words were still on his lips, the angel spoke and gave sentence. In Prophets and Kings, page 515, I read this. While the proud boast was yet on the king's lips, a voice from heaven announced that God's appointed time of judgment had come. In a moment, consider this, in a moment, the reason that God had given him was taken away. The judgment that the king thought perfect, the wisdom on which he prided himself, was removed. And the once mighty ruler was a maniac. Like that. That's judgment. That's judgment. Daniel 4:33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. What a pathetic sight. Consider with me the following. What would the people of Babylon have thought about this? If the king is mad, why didn't someone else attempt to take the kingdom? Who was in control? And remember, it was for 7 years, not 7 minutes. But you see, the God who we serve is a God of love. God doesn't leave anything to chance. He had a plan. And Daniel was there as a trusted servant who was made sure that everything was kept in order for the king. But then we come to 34. Daniel 4:34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honoured him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Isn't it beautiful? At the end of 7 years, he was able to look up and appreciate that God is God. He could now appreciate in a real way that all things are a gift from God and that without him, we are nothing. Verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason be turned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom my honour and brightness be turned unto me, and my counsellors my Lord sought after me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways just, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. What a picture. All things are returned the way they were. He has given back his kingdom. He has his honour restored. Everyone looks up to him. His majesty is returned and he is made more glorious than ever. How grand. How grand. But the best part, he is now a believer in God and is willing to be a child of heaven. In Prophets and Kings, page 516, it puts it so beautifully. The once proud monarch had become a humble child of God. The tyrannical overbearing ruler, a wise and compassionate king. He who had defied and blasphemed the God of heaven now acknowledged the power of the Most High and earnestly sought to promote the fear of Jehovah and the happiness of his subjects. Under the rebuke of him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Nebuchadnezzar has learned at last the lesson which all rulers need to learn. That true greatness consists in true goodness. Why this story? What is the value of this testimony? What can we learn? Simply this. The worth of a soul. The worth of a soul. God is not willing, God was not willing to give up on a king. God saw in him someone who was special. And he was. But so are you. So are you. And just as God was not willing to give up on his king, neither should we give up on others who would think are beyond hope. Final scene. Revelation 21. Here is an interesting verse. It captures the imagination, I hope. Revelation 21, verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. That's the next bit. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. What a day. When we see all these famous people of old who had saved in God's kingdom. But they are special even there too. You know, God went the extra mile for this king. But he's willing to go the extra mile for you too. He loves you. And he wants you to be in heaven with him. He wants you to be there. He is doing all that he can to ensure that you have every opportunity to be there. But do you want to be there? Do we want to be there? My prayer is that we will all choose to be there. Not only do we want to be there, but that we do all that we can to ensure and to encourage that others can be there with us.
That's my prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful testimony we've just read this morning, which is a beautiful demonstration of your love for us, how you so desperately want us all to be saved. And dear Father, may we respond to that. May we respond to your love and to give ourselves totally to you. Dear Lord, as we go into the week that lies ahead, we pray that you will go with us. None of us may know what tomorrow may bring, but may we at least hold on to the one that holds tomorrow, knowing that with him beside us, we are safe in his care. So take us now for this day, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.